As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I am your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and man, it's good to be here today with you on this wonderful Saturday afternoon. Actually, it is a significant Saturday afternoon, and if you know me, you know that, you guys out there in the audience are lucky that I am here with you today. What is so significant about this Saturday, October 3rd? It's the opening day, my friends, opening day of deer season. And yes, I should be out there doing what I can to try to fill my tag and make sure I'm not going to eat tag soup this year. I also have to get my boy out there, my son Noah. He's super excited, 13 years old, so he's really getting into it this year and really wants to get the job done. So I'm going to be doing everything I can to make sure that that's happening, but we're in the middle of so much going on. I mean, it's an election year. The world is upside down. The world is on fire. And, you know, we got baseball season. Actually, I would have been out hunting today, quite honestly, but my ball team had a game today, and we have a game tomorrow as well. So, fall ball. I'm starting to realize why baseball is a spring sport, because it interferes with hunting season. So, but you know what? In this COVID year, I can handle that, because when I look at my boys out there on the field and they're playing with each other and they're learning some skills and learning about teamwork and, more importantly, just having fun, having some sense of normalcy in this life that's been turned upside down this last year, it makes my heart warm. I mean, they needed that. And I know the parents that are sitting on the sidelines cheering them on, I know those parents needed that as well. We just want to get back to life. We want to live. And knowing that it's been yanked away from us for something that we have over a 99% chance of recovering from, it's just mind-boggling. Let me tell you, my friends, you only have one life to live. And if you're going to live in fear, if you're going to be afraid to go out, if you're going to be afraid to show your smile to your neighbors, you're not living correctly. I don't think you're living godly. I don't think we were meant to live in fear like this. And I think it's time that we open up. I think it's time that the churches start to assemble, that the communities start getting together and having their functions, their events. I think it's time, more importantly, that we get our children back into school. You know, years down the road, when we recover from all of this, assuming we do, we're going to look at this time and they're going to do studies and they are going to realize just how damaged we have made our children through this distance learning. Now, I'm not knocking the school districts. I know that they don't have a lot of say in this, that it's been mandated to them how they have to operate. And I think for the most part, they're doing the best they can do with what they've been given and the time frame they've been given to work in. But I think we are going to look at this and one day we're going to really regret this mistake and understand that our children not being in school where they belong, not getting socialized and not getting a proper education is far more dangerous to society, is far more dangerous to this country than COVID-19 ever was. I am looking, my friends, and I have children in the system right now, and I hate to say this. I hate to have these words come out of my mouth, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at the most indoctrinated and undereducated generation in United States history. Think about it. The children that are in school right now are going to be the most indoctrinated and the most undereducated generation in the entire history of our country. And if that doesn't scare the hell out of you guys, if that doesn't make you want to scream and make you want to storm our Capitol building, I don't know what will. If you're not willing to do it for the children, if you're not feeling frustrated enough for the children to fight for them, maybe we've already lost the battle. Maybe we've already thrown in the towel. Think about the rioters and the looters and everybody that's doing the, quote, peaceful protest. You know, the get-togethers where they can break the laws without consequences, where they don't have to follow the social distancing rules, they don't have to wear the masks, things like that. And we look at that generation, and I've said before, who is responsible for making that generation hate the United States of America? And we know public schools is a lot of the answer. College professors, they have a huge influence. The media, the biased media, they have a huge influence. And we get so frustrated with that generation. Now think about this. That generation was less indoctrinated and had more opportunity for education than the young children that are in the schools today. If we have any idea of how bad that is going to explode on us in the next 10, 15, 20 years, we need to put a stop to it today. Yes, the generation that is causing all the trouble right now, the rioters, the lawbreakers, the anarchists, they still had a more honest education and at least had a chance, an opportunity to hear the truth. The kids that are in school right now, they're not getting that. They're not even getting that. Imagine what kind of trouble they might get themselves into when they get a little bit older. That should scare the heck out of you. And you know what? I have friends and family and just the circles I run in that obviously so many of them feel strong and passionate the way I do about our country and our values and our faith. And they feel like that would never happen in my household. That could never happen in my family. And I caution that mentality because I know good, strong, conservative Christian families that have lost their children to this liberal ideology, this progressive ideology. People don't understand how much power the schools have over our kids and how influential they can be. And not just the schools, they sit next to 30 kids in their classroom from all different walks of life that have different views and different influences that help form their opinions. And they're influenced by each other. And we live in scary times. We got to be very protective of our children. It's important that we show them what's right. We talk to them. We teach them in our own household. But please, 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 don't be naive and think that just because you have strong Christian, strong conservative values, just because you're a patriot, just because you know the truth, and just because you've done your best to raise your children that way, don't be too naive to think that the grip of this progressive liberal ideology that they're exposed to won't have some type of an effect on them. That's just one of the realities we need to live in. How do you combat that? Well, understanding that it's an issue is the first way. We can't have any apathy. We can't have our head in the sands. We got to be paying attention now more than ever. What is happening in our children's life? Who is engaging with our children? If you're a teacher and any of your students know your political ideology. You have failed. That's the truth. That's not your job. So please, my friends, pay attention. Be willing to fight for the kids. I know it's a catch-22. You know, at the beginning I was saying how bad it is that our kids aren't in school, that this social education or this distance education is detrimental to the kids. And I believe that. I want them to go back into school. And now I'm cautioning you about the dangers of the public school system and the indoctrination. It's a catch-22. It's a double-edged sword for sure. I don't have all the solutions. I don't know exactly what's right in my household. We struggle with these things. But I think that's the key takeaway, my friends, that you need to be talking about that in your household and figuring out what's the best thing to do in your household. That would be my suggestion. Okay, I kind of went off on a rant there. I was thinking about deer season. I don't know how I got off on the schools again. Hopefully you guys, if you're hunters out there, hopefully you guys have a successful weekend and can get the job done. You know, when I'm out there hunting and when I've been able to get it done the first day or two, I have a little bit of regret and a little bit of sorrow because I think I've told you before that it's the experience of being out there in God's country. It's everything. It's taking everything in, fresh air, the scenery, the work that it takes, watching the wildlife, learning about the different wildlife, understanding how they move, where they go, what they eat. It's just the entire experience that is so powerful to me. And sometimes I feel like I shortchange myself when, by luck, I go out there and I'm able to get the job done. In the moment, I'm incredibly stoked and happy and relieved that I was able to get it done. But after it's all said and done, and after I've got my deer all packaged up and put away in my freezer, then I stop and think about, man, what did I do? I still had 28 days to be out there enjoying God's country. So it is, you know, that too. Why is everything in life a double-edged sword? That's the question. You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm struggling with things like that today. But anyway, God bless you guys. If you're able to provide for your own family and help maintain our animal populations so they're healthy and help maintain their habitats, because hunters, you truly are conservationists, and you're doing a wonderful job for the country and for the wildlife and for everybody out there that enjoys the outdoors. You know what? You don't have to be a hunter to be an avid outdoorsman, but you should understand that the hunters help to create healthy habitats and healthy wildlife populations. That way everybody can go outdoor and enjoy them and thrive off of the maintenance that we're doing. So pat yourself on the back if you're a hunter. You're doing a good job. And the wildlife are going to need your help right now. I mean, look how much acreage here in Oregon has burned up. We have lost a lot of acreage. That is a lot of habitat. And so what do you think that's going to do? What kind of impact and effect is that going to do? So again, we're seeing another example of something that's going to be greatly impacted because of poor management from Kate Brown and her administration and what they're doing on our public lands, our wilderness areas, by not maintaining them, not properly clearing out the underbrush, thinning the forest out. They've created a huge mess that's a disaster for the state of Oregon. And if you're an environmentalist, if you're an animal rights activist, you should be looking at that kind of thing too. What they've created here is detrimental to these animals, and it's definitely going to hurt, you know, their sustainability. So think about that, my friends. We've got to have amazing resources here in Oregon to support all the various species that we have. And in order to support that, we have to have policies and practices that are friendly to that. And we have to have an administration in Oregon, the governor, that understands what they need to do to properly manage. Stick with us, my friends. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, your fearless leader, and it is Saturday, October 3rd. Thank you for joining me again today. Remember, you can always follow my page on Facebook, Patriot Uprising Radio, or you could always shoot me over an email at mickey@kslm.news. I like to get some feedback, and you can shoot me over some ideas for show topics and you know, any critiques you might have as well. I like to hear that from my friends. Now, it's October 3rd already, so opening day of deer season. We've covered that. I'm sure a lot of you guys are out there in the woods right now and ignoring me, so I wish you all the best of luck. What else is going on this week? How about the debates? What did you guys think of that? You know, we're already into Saturday, so there's been plenty of news coverage about those debates. But one of the things, one of my takeaways, I was a little bit taken back by the amount of Trump supporters, conservatives, Republicans that were sharing their disappointment with how Trump's performance was. Or, I guess more importantly, that seemed like they were surprised that Trump came out swinging and was a little bit combative. Now, if you've been paying attention to Trump for, oh, I don't know, his entire life maybe, or at least this last 3.5 years, my question to you is, what exactly did you expect he was going to do? I mean, seriously, if you thought you were going to see anything different than what you saw, you obviously haven't been paying attention. And if you're upset with Trump because you don't think he was professional enough or presidential enough, you obviously don't understand what this man has already done for you and this country. Let me tell you something, my friends. It's none less than a miracle that this man is the president of the United States. And this man is a fighter. And this man would not have been the president of the United States if he was anything different. And when you have that personality, let me tell you something, you can't turn it on or off. And if he turned it off, he wouldn't be successful. He never would have been there. He never would have accomplished what he's accomplished for this country, for you and I, in the last 3.5 years. This man, this fighter, this man that you don't think is presidential acting, this man that you have problems with his personality, this man that you don't think performed professionally in the debate, when all the deck was stacked against him, this man has been the most pro-life president we've ever had in our country. This man has done more to protect religious freedom and Christianity than any president we have ever had in this country. This man has put more conservative judges on the court than any president we have ever had in our history. And we can go on and on and on about the first that this man, this president, has done for you and I. And you need to understand that. When he walked out there, the moment he walked out there, you should have expected him to fight, and you should be with him, cheering him on all the way. If he doesn't fight, if he didn't do what he did, he would not be able to get two words in. The moderator wasn't going to let him. The questions were biased. He wasn't able to respond the right way. He wasn't able to engage with Joe Biden. And let me remind you of this also. Joe Biden was the first person to go on the attack. Joe Biden was the first person to be disrespectful to the president of the United States. Now, you might not like Donald Trump, but let me tell you, the office itself has always demanded some sort of respect, especially from lifelong politicians like Joe Biden, they know that when you're addressing the president of the United States, no matter how bad you disagree, you should respect the office and therefore respect the man. And Donald Trump has not gotten any respect. The media doesn't give him respect. Chris Wallace definitely was not giving him any respect. And Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe the joke, was not giving him any respect. And then people have the audacity to get mad at President Trump because he seems a little bit irritated, because he raises his voice a little bit, because he interrupts. What did you expect? And how can you blame him for how he acts? The man has to be on the defense 24/7. He's been on the defense for the last 3.5 years. Who has came and helped him? And let me tell you, as long as he's doing that, as long as he's taking the heat, as long as he's throwing the punches, as long as the spotlight's on him, guess who the spotlight's not on? It's not on you and I. This man is taking the beating for you and I. This man is defending you and I. We might not like every word that comes out of his mouth. We might not always care for his demeanor. But if he was not that exact person, the battle would already be lost. And nobody but President Donald Trump could do and accomplish the things that he has done. Nobody. And you can't ask him to change who he is, because the moment he does, we lose. And let me tell you something, this next four years, it's not going to be any easier. This next 4 years, they're going to ramp up their attacks, and they're going to become more desperate. They're going to become more vile. They're going to become more anti-American. And they're going to become more dangerous. It's not enough for us just to fight to get him in office again and reelected. We're going to have to be vigilant from here on out, because we're seeing things that we've never seen before in this country. This country is under attack. In some ways, we are under siege. This crazy Marxist ideology has infiltrated every aspect of this country. Now, I'm not saying that it's too late to fix, but you guys better be in for the fight, and it's going to be a long ride. Stick with us. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and thanks for joining me on this Saturday, October 3rd, the opening day of deer season. So get your bucks, go out and get your bucks, and fill that freezer, because what's on the horizon, you might be really, really thankful that the good Lord blessed you with some meat in the freezer. Because I think we have some crazy times ahead of us. I think we got some challenges we're going to face. And I think everybody would do well to take a little bit extra and be prepared. Get yourself prepared. Have some extra food in the house. Be stocked up on some supplies. You know, you should be at least able to sustain yourself for 6 months. So, and if you have skills like you are able to hunt, you're able to dress out your own animals, you're able to cut up your own meat, you're already a step ahead. So what's on our horizon, you know, I just think we all should be prepared, because who knows what's going to happen over this next few months. We're already under siege in a lot of ways. We're under attack by Antifa and BLM, the socialists, the Marxists, the leftist crazies. Like we've said many a times, liberalism is a mental disorder. And after this next election in November, after we get President Donald Trump reelected to the White House, I think everybody's going to go in full-blown meltdown mode. And I don't think we can put anything past them. As patriots, we need to be ready for absolutely anything. We need to be prepared. We need to be able to defend our families, defend our communities, our president, this country. As patriots, we need to be prepared for everything. If you can't take care of yourself and your family in a time of crisis, you're not any good to anybody else. In fact, you're a liability to everybody else. So do what you need to do to get your own household in order first. And you better start on that right now. Now, it's a little bit, it's been a little bit sobering the last couple days. You know, the news of our president and Melania getting that positive COVID test, it struck me a little bit. Until I heard that, I don't know if I realized how much I care for this family. It might seem funny to you, but, he's always been so strong and just out there. And, he almost seems invincible. We see a 70-plus-year-old man flying all over the country and, being up for crazy hours and just on his feet, running the country, making the decisions he has to make on a daily basis, campaigning. And it's hard for anybody to keep up with him, let alone somebody his age. I mean, look at Sleepy Joe. He doesn't hold a candle to the amount of energy that Donald Trump has. And he's always seemed healthy. And in the last 3.5 years that he's been in office, I don't know that he's missed a day of work. And we've been privy to his life, his daily life, day in and day out. There's a camera in his face and we're always hearing something and seeing something. And I've never seen him gone. I've never seen him absent. It's just amazing. And he's a very healthy man. I think we take that for granted sometimes. His appearance is that he's just kind of invincible. And then we get the news this week that he's got COVID and Melania tested positive for COVID. And it scared me. It's scary right now. And, Friday they took him to the hospital and, the White House is reassuring people it's just for extra precautions. He is the president of the United States. They want to do everything possible to make sure that he stays healthy. His symptoms are very minor, if any at all. But we have seen COVID hit people that are his age and hit them pretty hard, and they've gone downhill pretty fast. Now, all those people, I believe, had underlying health conditions that contributed to their demise. But, a 70-plus-year-old man, you just never know. And so all I can say right now is I want you guys to join in with me when you go to say your nightly prayers, give an extra prayer for the president and his family and pray for their health and well-being and a fast recovery, a fast 100% recovery, because we know how important he is, and we know that we can't carry on without him. And he just needs all the prayers he can get right now to help him conquer this and uplift him and keep doing the things that this fighter does. So say a special prayer that he heals and Melania heals and protection for their family, because they're under attack all the time, and the attacks that they're getting are coming from an evil place. We know that Satan is working against this nation and working hard to destroy our president. And so I just want you guys all to think about that. If you're like me, you're rightfully concerned. I'm a positive thinker. I'm a glass half full type of guy. And knowing that our president is a healthy man, I think he's going to beat this, knowing that he's got the fight inside him like he does. I believe he's going to beat this. But when I heard the news, I panicked a little bit. I got really sad. I couldn't imagine the worst case scenario. And so we Christians, we need to pray for him and help him get through this, and pray for the First Lady too. She's an amazing First Lady. She is a beautiful First Lady, and she is so, so intelligent, and she is doing so much behind the scenes. And I don't know if people realize how much of a rock she is for our president and what kind of a support network she is for him to keep him motivated, to keep him going and fighting for America day in and day out. They are truly a team, and they need each other. So let's keep them both in our prayers. We should always be praying for our leaders no matter what. In fact, our Bible tells us that we need to always keep our leaders in prayer. But this COVID thing's a little bit scary. Now, we know the left, what they're going to do. You know, they've already started. It's all over the place. First of all, as soon as the news came out, I was so appalled by the comments on the different social media platforms of people just wishing for his death and laughing that he got COVID and saying the most vile, evil things you can imagine about the president and the First Lady and his family. And it's really disgusting how far removed from humanity these liberals are, that they would wish death on anybody. It blows my mind how nasty they are. And, you know, these are the people, keep in mind, that are always preaching about compassion and inclusivity and being kind. And then when they open their mouth, they show everybody that they're the exact opposite of what they're preaching. And we know by now, we've learned our lesson that is who they are. It shouldn't surprise anybody. They've proven over and over again that is exactly what they do. But it made me furious. It made me so angry, the disgust that they were writing about our president and our FLOTUS when they found out that he had COVID. And then the blames start coming. You see how irresponsible he is. He never took COVID seriously. He doesn't wear a mask. He doesn't social distance. He has these rallies with thousands and thousands of people. He's endangering everybody. Who has he come in contact with? It's his fault if somebody else gets COVID now because he's exposed everybody to it. That's the kind of rhetoric that they're saying right now. You know, the president has always taken COVID seriously. He knows the realities. He knows the risk. He knows the danger. He did everything in his power to keep this country safe, to stop the spread of COVID. If there's a problem in your area with COVID, if it hasn't been handled the right way, if there is outbreaks that are taking lives, that are endangering the community, you can blame that on your governors. You can blame that on Kate Brown. Whatever state you live in, you can blame that on your governor. You know the states that aren't having these big outbreaks, these big problems with COVID? The Republican-ran states. You know the states that are suffering the most with people sick from COVID and economic ruins? The Democrat states. That's a fact. If you're going to blame somebody about COVID, look to your own governor and look what she's done to the state and look how she's managed COVID, because the president has given it all to them. He's done a good job of doing what he could do to protect the United States. And early on, when he tried to do even more, he was mocked for it. And then after they realized that COVID's a real thing, quickly they tried to say he didn't do enough fast enough. The bottom line is they've lied the entire time. The Democrats and the media have lied the entire time. The president has always taken this serious, but he has a job to do. He's the president of the United States, and he still has to get out and do his job. The amount of people he's exposed to, the fact that he has COVID, that doesn't surprise me. Let's just make sure as a nation, we're doing what we can to protect him and help him get through this and make sure he's healthy. Stick with us. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow Patriots. Hopefully you guys are doing good out there on this Saturday afternoon. Once again, the time is flying by so fast. We're wrapping up our show here today. And personally, I'm hoping I can get out of here with enough time to go out there and do a little bit of scouting for my deer, being the opening day of deer season and all. I'd feel like a real bum if I didn't make it out at all on opening day. That's kind of tradition. If you're a hunter, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, we were just talking about how this country, it's just different right now, and how there's so many people out there that are looking to destroy it. And I'm getting tired of having stuff like this be the normal topic of conversation anymore. It just seems like we're getting numb to what's really happening day in and day out. Things that are happening in this country that, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we would have only thought possible for stuff like this to happen in a third world country somewhere. Stuff like this doesn't happen in the United States of America. And that should wake you guys up to the dangers and the threats that we face and why it's so important for Donald Trump to win this presidency. Now, let me tell you, I believe with all my heart that he will win. I think that we are the majority. I think we might be the silent majority. I think we're waking up, though, but I think we will get out to vote. I think there is a lot of Democrats that are fed up with the ridiculousness, that are tired of the radical, extreme movement that's happened to their party. And you know what? I do believe, I know I'm hard on Democrats and liberals, but I do believe there is good on both sides. I believe there's good and bad on both sides. And extremism, no matter what side it is, extremism is wrong. And if you're a Democrat right now and you have any kind of moral turpitude, if you know what is right and know what is wrong, if you are disgusted with what's happened to your party and the way it's been taken over by these radicals, if you want better, there is only one answer. And I think deep down in your guts, you guys know what that answer is. This country will not survive. This country is not sustainable under Democrat leadership. We are at a point, this is our last chance. This election, we have to get it right. Now, I'm not saying that you have to buy into every single Republican policy. I'm not saying you got to throw your hands up in the air and say, I'm a conservative now. I'm a proud constitutionalist, a capitalist. I'm not saying that you got to dance around and declare your allegiance for our side. I'm saying that you should declare your allegiance for your country and do what's right for your country. You can still have some progressive ideology in you. You can still have some of your liberal viewpoints. But I know you do, that if we lose, if Donald Trump loses this election, and Joe and Kamala take over the White House, I think you know deep down what's going to happen to this country. You know the agendas that they're pushing. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. You know that they are puppets. You know that they are being driven by somebody else. Somebody dangerous. Somebody that has a plan for this country, and our republic is not part of it. Our constitution is not part of it. You know that there's an evil that has crept in. And I'm calling to you guys right now. I'm calling to you because we need you. If you want to save this country, if you want to have a future for your children, for your grandchildren, come over and do the right thing. Work together with us. Help this president win again, and everything else we can work on. Yeah, there is some values that neither side will ever compromise on. And you know what? I don't believe people should compromise their values. But there are policy issues that both sides could come together on and do better with communication and working for a greater good. And we can continue that work. We can continue that effort. We can get the right people in office that are willing to have those conversations, willing to look at things with an open mind, willing to reach across the aisle. That's so much of the problem. For so many years, we've had so many of the wrong people in office. We do have a systemic problem. We've got people that have been there for 50 years and they haven't fixed the system. The only thing they've done is gotten themselves rich. They're not working for you and I. They're not working for the country. They're not working for the greater good. They don't care about the blacks. They don't care about the Jews. They don't care about babies. These people have been in power for far too long, and they are power hungry. And the only thing they've asked for, the only thing they want, is more power. Why? Smaller government's what we need. New representation. Do you think we have the representation we need right now? We can fix this stuff. But if we don't win the presidency, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. You and I both know what it means. That's why it's so important. We need to do everything we can. We need to keep every Senate seat. We need to add more. And we need Congress. We need to get rid of Pelosi. And we need to add 20 more seats to Congress. And we can do it. We got to get out to vote. My friends, this election year is the most important election of our lifetime. This election decides, do we remain intact as a constitutional republic? Or do we become a third world country under the rule of tyranny and socialism, or worse? It's mind-boggling that some people have to think about it. It's mind-boggling that it's not clear enough. The writing on the wall is not clear enough for a percentage of our population. I don't know what we have to do to convince these people. Because to so many of us, it's obvious. It's obvious what they're doing, what they want to do, and what we have to do. And so why are so many still in the dark? That's what's so surprising to me. Why can't people know and see what we know? Well, so much of it's faith. They don't have it. They don't follow Christ. They don't know the Bible. That's what's separating us. That's what makes it so we understand what's at stake, what we have to lose, and why we need to fight. That's where we get our moral compass. That's where we get our values. If you've never been taught that, if you've never read the Bible, if you haven't studied it, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, of course you're going to be missing so much of what you need to make these decisions that are life-changing. And if you don't have this information, you're going to make the wrong decision. We can't do it without God. Another reason why this president is so important. The president that has defended Christianity and Israel more than any other president in the United States. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next week on Patriot Uprising Radio. Thank you.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.